If you don't have a Bible, there's one back there. Go ahead and get one and turn to Proverbs chapter 21. And let's ready to learn some scriptures. This morning's message is called from the series Lessons from My Father, and we're going to learn to walk in the blessed way. And let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you, and it's so true, the song that we sang, it is a divine romance that you love us. Yet while we were sinners, you loved us. Yet in your love, you died for the ungodly, and that was us. And we appreciate your demonstration of love for us. And Lord, help us to change our ways, to walk by faith, to walk in what's doing is right, and to walk in what is doing is just. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to walk in your blessed way. We love you and we praise you. And we're so grateful that you're here with us. That you're in this room and you're in our hearts and you're in our midst. And so, Father, we welcome you here and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, one of the most difficult things in life to do is to do the right thing in the midst of peer pressure, isn't it? It's difficult when you're with your friends and your friends are saying, hey, let's do this, and you know you're not supposed to do that. And it becomes it becomes a tug on your heart. And so, and also one of the other difficult things to do is when you're tempted. You want to do it, but you know it's not right, and you have that internal struggle of, oh, I want to do right, but no, that's not right, and that struggle. And we give in to our desires, and we discover we're walking down that wrong path. But, you know, God offers us always a better alternative. He offers us true life, a code of righteousness and honor if we live by faithful obedience. You know, the hardest piece of land for any God to conquer is your heart. And he can do so. And so this morning's message, we're going to look at three different ways to walk on our journey on earth. And the common attribute or the common thread through all this morning's discussion is faith. And faith should change our attitudes. Faith should change the way we believe. And so we hope that our faith would change our attitude towards obedience. You know, Paul to the Romans says our faith should lead to obedience. And day by day, we're moving that direction. If you're sincere about your relationship with God, you'll change. He changes you. And so, in our first discussion, the right way, as I said, our faith changes our attitude to obey God. In our second discussion, our faith changes our attitude to be just or fair. That means that we have to be less self-centered, but to see life as to be a blessing to others. And finally, we'll discuss the blessed way. Our Heavenly Father always blesses faith. We enter his kingdom by faith. We walk by faith, and God gives us his righteousness, and thereby we find life and honor. So let's look at two verses this morning. We're going to look at verse 3 and 21. So let's read verse 3 and chapter 21 together. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. As I said, our faith must change our attitudes about life. It changes the way we behave. Let's say you guys had faith in me. And I've used this illustration before, and you believe me. And so I said, hey, you know, Josh, guys, I buried treasure boxes out in the volleyball court full of gold. Well, if you had faith in me, what would you do? You go dig it up. You go looking for it. And that's what James says. Faith without works is dead. Our faith moves us to do something. It proves that we believe God. And we prove that we believe God by obeying him. Now, who determines what is right in life? Now, if you're like me, I said, my wife. She determines what's right in my life. No, ultimately, God determines what is right. And we live in a culture now where right has become subjective. Well, that might be right for you, but for me, this is right. But God determines what is absolutely correct, what is right. And sometimes our hearts disagree with God. You know, I remember before I came to know the Lord, you know, I thought, well, it's okay to live with somebody before you get married if you love them. No, that's not what God says. You must be married before you live with that person. That is good and that is right. And the beauty is God honors that faith. You know, you can even get studies about those kinds of things. And people who live together before they get married end up in divorce if they get married sooner than somebody who's pure and does things God's way. Their marriage lasts longer because it's built on commitment. It's built on character. And so, doing things the right way. We learn what is right, but was spelled out in the Bible, but it's translated through the attitude of Christ. See, there are things in the Bible that's just so, boom, black and white. But if we translate the Word of God through the attitude and life of Christ, things kind of change. Like, for example, there's the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. Well, the law says the person who commits adultery, you know what the law said God's law was at that time? She should be stoned. And that's right. Well, here they bring this woman to Jesus, and they said, this woman was caught in a very act of adultery. And they bring this woman before him. What do you say? How would you like to be in that situation? Well, most of us, you know, if we're God-fearing Republican Christians, we say, stone the woman. But Jesus said, well, you without sin, why don't you throw the first stone? And they said, one by one, everybody walked away because, you know, for some reason, they knew they had sin. Jesus was doing what was right. He was doing what was just. Because it takes how many people to commit adultery? At least two, right? Where was the man? He should be stoned too. But Jesus showed us that mercy triumphs over judgment. See, when we make judgments and we make these things, we got to do it with the heart of mercy, because the problem when you make a judgment is that we're a sinner too. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, the Bible says do not judge. Well, they take that out of context. Jesus says do not judge, but to judge rightly and mercifully. That's why he gives the analogy, you without sin, take the sty out of your eye first. What if you had a log in your eye? Would it feel, have you ever pulled a splinter out? How does it feel? It kind of hurts, huh? And so when you pull that splinter out, you're going to be more careful the next time because it hurts. And so when you pull a log out of your eye, and when you see somebody with one in theirs, you know it hurts, and you're going to be a little bit more compassionate. And that's how we're to judge, with compassion. And so when we do right, let's not become self-righteous snooty noses. Sometimes, we have a tendency, oh, I don't do this and I don't do that. And it's like the old saying, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. And we have this self-righteous attitude, I'm better than you. You know, the only reason that any of us are righteous is because God has declared us righteous because we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, and some of you last week admitted you were liars. Some of you last week admitted that you are thieves. I can't believe I'm such in front of a motley group. But the beauty is, God has forgiven you of your sins, and he no longer sees you as that liar, even though you might tell a little white lie now and then. Confess your sins. You should still tell the truth. But God no longer sees you that way because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers you and forgives you of all sins. So let's do right, but let's not get too arrogant about it. Also, doing right is our duty before God more than sacrifice. Let's read verse 3 again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, there's the story of Saul. The prophet Samuel came to Saul, who was the king of Israel. And Saul had a listening problem, and he also had a character problem. Samuel told Saul, when you attack the Amalekites, kill them all. Kill all the animals, wipe them out. This is the word of the Lord, wipe them out. Well, Saul wiped out about 90% of them and kept all the best cattle, all the best spoils, and he spared the life of their king. And so, you know, Samuel the prophet goes to see Saul, see how things are going, and Saul, you know, went on a brag fest. Look what I did. Isn't this great? You know, he became that snooty, self-righteous guy, thought he was doing right. And Saul said, what's the sound of these sheep I hear? I thought you were supposed to get rid of them all. And Saul said something very telling. He says, well, I kept the best because I was afraid of the people. I was afraid to do right because of the people. And, you know, all of us can become subject to peer pressure, even adults. We want to fit in, or we don't want to tick off the boss. You know, likewise with you guys, I don't want to tick off the coolest person in school. He might think I'm a, you know, whatever. But we got to do what is right, no matter what the cost. And God said this through Samuel, to Saul, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? Oh, by the way, Saul said, I was saving this stuff up for a sacrifice. That's why God says this. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Oh, by the way, it's true. You know, a lot of the mafia guys, they would give money to the Catholic Church because they think it's going to cover their sins. This tells you, no, it doesn't work. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, and he has rejected you as king. So it's better that we obey than, you know, trying to please God through our works. Because when we obey God, that shows that we have a changed heart. And so Saul was a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. So let's do right by faith, for faith can change our heart attitudes. Well, let's look at the just way. What is just? What is justice? You know, we all want justice, don't we? We all want to be treated fairly. Does God treat you justly? You think so? You really? I'm glad he doesn't. He really doesn't treat you justly. You know how he treats you mercifully. Because if he treated you justly, you deserve to go to hell because of your sins. But God in his mercy says, no, I don't see your sins anymore. And I'm going to give you grace and I'm going to give you my righteousness because you believe in Jesus. So thank God he doesn't give you justice. He gives you mercy and grace. But just is doing what is right and fair without partiality. Now, I don't know, I'm a baseball nut. I think Josh knows that. And this week you might have heard that they released a report of baseball players who were using steroids and HGH, human growth hormones. And some of the biggest names in baseball were pointed out, specifically Roger Clemens. And a lot of people were concerned about the man who made the investigation. He was a former senator named George Mitchell because he had ties to baseball. He was on the Red Sox payroll. He's good friends with the commissioner of baseball. And here he's doing this investigation. Is he going to do it fairly, justly? Is there a conflict of interest? Well, everybody who knew this man says he's a man of high integrity. And so when we released this report, he spared no one. He said it was the commissioner of baseball's fault. That's his friend. He said it was the union. He said it was the baseball players. He was saying it's everybody's fault and everybody needs to take a part in correcting the problem. And so we need to do what is right and just, how we treat others. As human beings, we see somebody, you know, and it's like we make our assessments about that person before ever getting to know them. You know, if you hang on the rough part of town, it's like you're sizing up the dude. You know, women are, you ladies are sizing up the chick, you know, or whatever, for whatever reason. Or, you know, you make these judgments about people, and God says that's sin. James tells us that we sin when we show favoritism and leave others out because of what we think or because they're not in the same social status as you are. See, you know the crazy thing is? Jesus left the riches of heaven and became poor so that we may become rich. Have you ever thought about that when Jesus was on earth, the fate of the whole world was on the shoulders of a homeless man? Kind of a weird thought, huh? He was homeless. Yeah. And here he saved all of humanity by his act. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, James also says this, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and you are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So when we show favorites, it's like we're sinning. And that's tough because that's so entwined in our human condition. God wants to change us to be loving and accepting of everybody. Again, being just or fair begins by faith. A change of attitude to keep the royal law, to love others as yourself, or even better, love your neighbor as Jesus loves you. Are you convinced that Jesus loves you? Well, share that same kind of love towards one another. So, the just way, we looked at the right way. Now, let's look at the blessed way. Well, you know what's amazing is that when we our hearts are changed towards God because of our faith, the most amazing thing, joy fills our hearts. Because we know we are now pleasing before God because of our faith. Did you know that your faith in Christ pleases God? I mean, some people think, I can never make my mom and dad happy. Yeah, you know how it is. You know, your parents get on your case and you go into these pity parties thinking that your parents, you can't make them happy because, you know, whatever reason. But, you know, your parents delight in you, believe me. But when you place your faith in God, he delights in you. He loves it. And when we are kind to one another and we're blessing one another, this pleases God. How we treat one another is how we treat Jesus. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, the least, how you treat the least of these is how you treat Jesus? That's pretty tough, huh? Well, let's look at verse 21. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. Notice in the first part of verse 1, it says, he who follows righteousness. Well, we know righteousness begins by having faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith changes our attitudes to do right and to be just and merciful. And lo and behold, God says, I'll give you life, righteousness, and honor by that faith. And so life. Did you know that God delights in giving life? Do you remember back in Genesis when God created Adam and he went, breathed life into him and he created Eve? He said it was good. No, he didn't say that. He said it was very good. He created us in his image. You know, why are you creative? Because God's creative. Why do you have a sense of morality? Because God is moral. Because God created you in his image. Also, God delights in giving eternal life. He loves giving eternal life. The Bible says that when someone turns to Christ, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven has a party. You know, do you think they're dunking for apples in eggnog? You know, they're partying that up because somebody turned their life over to Christ. God delights us. In John chapter 17, Jesus is saying, is praying to God, and he says these words. It says, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want eternal life? It's knowing God. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And everything around that comes off of that. Your family life, your professional life, when you get married, when you have kids, when you're in the twilight years and you're looking even closer to heaven, all revolves around the fact that you know God and his Son. That's what life is all about. Some of us, you know, what's my purpose in life? Well, it's very simple. Knowing God. Knowing Jesus Christ. In that is great purpose. In that is great joy and life and honor. You know, the beauty about eternal life, it gives you hope. When you're in the trial and things are pretty rotten, and you're a believer, you have the hope of eternal life. You have the hope that God is working on your behalf. You have the hope and comfort of the Scriptures. We have hope. We have the hope of seeing Jesus face to face one day. It's like I was telling my daughters, you know, the Scripture, and I think it's in Ephesians, it says that it hasn't entered the mind of man or the heart of man the things that God has for those who love them. And we ask them, what do you want for Christmas? And, you know, and they said, oh, I want this. Well, you know, God's going to surpass that. It hasn't even entered your heart or mind. It's going to be so much greater than what you can ever think. It's going to be beyond your comprehension here on earth. And that's awesome. Righteousness. We are made righteous by our faith. And please learn what it means by that, that you have a righteousness given by God. You didn't earn it. Even the faith that you have, God gave to you. And when he gave you that faith and it enlightened your mind, you were given eternal life. God saw you as righteous, pure, holy. even though you're still a little Johnny Rotten here on earth, God sees you as righteous. And so, this faith changes us because we're given a new nature. See, before you came to Christ, the only thing that you could do on your own is sin. But now that you come to Christ, you have a new nature. You still have the old sinful nature. It's still alive and it's still well, but you now have a new nature to do right what is pleasing to God. And that's the nature we want to feed. That's the nature we want to grow. It's kind of like the song we sang earlier, less of me and more of you. And so we have a new nature. And now we can delight to please God, for his love changes us. Now God has given us honor. Honor. God delights in us. He delights in you. He now treats us as sons and daughters. Ephesians tells us that he wants to spend all of eternity. And how long is eternity? Beyond time. There's no time. All of eternity bestowing his kindness towards us and love in Christ Jesus. Boy, I think he loves us big time. He wants to love on you for all eternity. He wants to honor you. I mean, that's humbling when you think about it. But it's honoring, and he honors us this way. So, in closing, faith really changes and transforms us. So let's walk by faith, by doing what is right, just, and honoring God with our lives. That is walking in the blessed way. You know, live to please God. Live to the praise of his glory. And your life will be filled with joy, purpose, and hope. Because, you know, guys, God wants to transform your life that, you know, whatever happens, you think, God, how do you want me to bless somebody in this situation? You know, you guys have friends. And, you know, that friendship isn't by mistake, you know. Maybe God has placed you in their lives to share the gospel. Maybe God has placed you in those folks' lives to be a blessing, a sign of hope that God can give in a life. Your life has great purpose and great meaning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your great goodness. And God, we thank you that you give us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here who's never given their life to Christ, it's very simple. It's just saying, Jesus, take my life. Forgive me of my sins and help me live for you. And that's all it is. If you're that person, say that prayer. Mean it sincerely. And please tell somebody. And Lord, we thank you again for your word. It gives us hope. It gives us comfort. And we're so grateful that you're not just towards us. You're merciful and gracious. You don't give us what we deserve, but you give us what we don't deserve, which is life and grace and peace and joy, the riches of heaven. We thank you for that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, God bless you guys. Have a great week. And whoopee, Christmas is coming up.